Welcome to this podcast of Armstrong Chapel. I'm lead pastor David Brown. It's a blessing to be with you today, to share the inspiration in these moments, and to be uplifted by the power and love of Christ. Enjoy this message.
This morning we have two scripture passages to hear from. The first is the psalmist that calls us, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God with thanksgiving and extol God with music and song." The second scripture for us this morning is out of John's gospel. It's only a small portion of the whole story. And yet in the middle of this story, I'm going to entrust to you the whole of chapter 4 for this week's reading during Lent. And you can wander in it and think through it and what it means. But here's the encounter between Jesus and the woman. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar. And it was near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from his journey, was sitting by the well. And it was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share anything in common with Samaritans. Now Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well, it is very deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well with his sons and with his flock who drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks from this water, they'll be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I'll give you will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." It's the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. I used to visit my parents, my grandparents, up in Unionville Center, which is just north of Columbus. And we'd spend a week or so in the summer with Grandma and Grandpa Brown. They had two sources of water at their house. On the back porch, just off the kitchen, there was a pump that went into a spring way deep in the ground. And when you pumped that water out, it would come out cool and crisp and fresh. On the other side of the house, there was another pump. And in mid-August, when we were there, I'd go out to that pump, and you'd be pumping that, and you know what you'd end up with? A cup of mud. Gunky water, because that pump was connected to a cistern. And because the rains wouldn't continue through the summer, things would slow down, and ultimately the water would go down, and it would just be a mucky mess. The water even smelled when it came out. I couldn't find any good reason why Grandma and Grandpa would want that pump outside. And yet Grandma loved that water. She'd take me out there and she'd pump the bucket full And then she'd have me go around and water all of her flowers because she said that water, because of its cistern makeup and the material that was in it, was decaying, and it added extra nutrients to her flowers and made stuff grow better. Well, it was a nasty job, but you did it anyway. But there would be no doubt in my mind, if I wanted water, I'd be at the back porch. Jesus finds himself weary from the journey, and he sits down and he's thirsty. He's by Jacob's well. Jacob's well is important because Jacob is one of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The three big names in the Old Testament and the Jewish tradition that surrounded the nature of Jacob and the provision that he would share for his family, especially for his son Joseph. And Joseph and the flocks and all of his family and the generations that would follow would be part of it. I think it's interesting that we don't know the name of the woman who comes at noon, because she clearly has some ancestral ties, because she makes reference in this exchange with Jesus. Our father Jacob gave us this well. And yet she identified early in this passage the basic prejudice that was true in Jesus' day, and that was Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. You'll remember that there along the West Bank, it was sometimes considered a shortcut to get to the temple from where you're coming, from the far side of the Promised Land. But if you really wanted to take the journey, you'd actually walk a longer way around so that you wouldn't walk through unclean ground of Samaritans. And the disciples who are out buying food, you know, they don't have a rewards card from one of the grocery stores. They, in fact, are on a difficult search, because as Jews, they wouldn't buy food from Samaritans. They'd have to find somebody in that region that had kosher food that they could purchase and provide for them in the midst of that journey. Some people even suggest the disciples had to walk a long way outside that place to buy food to bring it back to Jesus. And yet Jesus sits down by this well and starts a conversation with an unknown, unnamed woman. She remarks that he has no bucket, no way to draw water, when he suggests to her that you'd ask me to give you a drink of living water. She knew Jacob's well. It's either 85 to 150 feet deep. She knew that it was a long way to reach that water and to pull it up. It, unlike many of the wells around in that region, was known as light water. It didn't have a lot of impurities in it. It didn't have minerals in it. It was really fresh spring water. It was prized. And we'd also recognize that this woman missed daylight savings time, because she didn't spring forward. She was out collecting water at noon. You're supposed to be getting water about 6, 7, maybe as late as 8 o'clock in the morning, because that's what starts your day. You don't come in the middle of the day. A lot of people believe that this reason why she comes in the middle of the day is because everybody else is gone. She doesn't have to chit-chat, small talk with any of the village people. And maybe more importantly, she wouldn't be judged by them. spoiler alert, if you haven't read the rest of the fourth chapter, you'll hear in their conversation where Jesus says to her, go and tell your husband, and she says, oops, I've had five. And maybe she's working on six or seven, who knows? And yet this woman who was searching for something to satisfy was caught up in a conversation with Jesus. It's also remarkable that Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God, just put a bracket around that in your Bible when you're home. Highlight it with a yellow marker. Circle it in every way. It's the reminder of who Jesus is, the gift of God. And if you knew that gift, he said, you'd ask me for living water. Living water is that symbol of the Holy Spirit, of eternal life for the gospel writer John. This spirit that bubbles up inside of us is fresh and overflowing and a rich blessing. This woman would be given it, and she'd even say to Jesus very mockingly, give me that living water and I won't have to come draw every day and I'll never be thirsty again. It's that gift of who Jesus is that becomes our source of new beginning. Are there times in our journey and life that we maybe are like the woman who come late in the day to hide from the crowd, to hide from the judgment and the ridicule of others? Do we just want to kind of sneak in and sneak out? Maybe God won't see us. And yet there's a medieval image, a painting of the Renaissance of the woman looking down in that deep well and seeing her reflection, not as a broken and confused and judged woman, but as the woman Christ sees her to be. Christ knows who we are. In the depth of his mercy, he meets us as the well of our driest, desperate moment. And if we know who the gift of God is, would we not ask him for that living water, that source of eternal life bubbling up and overflowing, that we too might share it with others? Because don't forget, elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus will remind us that if you give even a cup of cold water to a little one, you have given that cup of water to him. That cup of blessing, that mercy is ours to receive and ours to share. To be a well that springs to eternal life and offers us hope and others hope that he is the gift and we have been given the Son of God. May it be so. Amen.
Sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song.
Thank you for sharing in these special moments, Armstrong Chapel. We pray that God will surround you in these moments. You'll share with family and friends. You'll care for one another as we look forward to joining again next week. God bless.